The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you for that song and special music. Love to hear good singing. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to preach tonight in preacher's stead. I will not take his place. I will not fill his shoes. I do believe the Lord gave me something to give you tonight. And either turn up the volume or the gain just a little bit, one or the other. Do your feet stink? Do your feet stink? In Genesis chapter 18, verse 4, the verse says, let a little water, I pray, you be fetched and wash your feet and rest your souls under the tree. Abraham entertained our Lord out in the desert. And the Lord came to talk to Abraham about Lot and about the city of Sodom there where he lived. And he said, let me fetch some water and wash your feet. In Genesis chapter 24 and verse 32, and the man came into the house. And he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. Abraham's servant went to find a wife for Abraham's son, Isaac. And when he got there into the land of Haran, the young lady met them, Rebekah, and she took them back to the house. And Laban brought them and the servants into the house. He said, let me get some water and wash your feet. In Genesis 43 and verse 24, the Bible says, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. Here's the story of Joseph and his brothers, and they did not yet know that he was their brother. They did not recognize him yet, but they brought them into the house, and as was their custom, they gave them water to wash their feet. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 44, we see a beautiful situation here. And he, that's Jesus, turned to the woman and saith unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Here was a woman that, for most part, people did not think was a good person possibly. And when he went into this Pharisee's house, the Pharisee did not want to show honor to just an ordinary person that was a guest. And he didn't even offer to wash Jesus' feet. But here this woman came in, and the Bible said she cried and she prayed over his feet. She cried there and washed his feet with her tears and wiped his feet with the hair of her head. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10, it talks about godly widows washing the saints' feet. In 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 41, there was a lady by the name of Abigail. She said to have had a husband by the Nabal, son by the name of Nabal, was very churlish, who gave David a lot of trouble. And the man had such a temper, he died, probably of a heart attack. Abigail offered herself as unworthy to be David's wife. He asked her to marry him. But she said, I'm not worthy to do that, but only to be a servant to wash the feet of your servants. That was her attitude. He married her anyway. That's the problem with some of you college girls can't get a date or get married. You're not washing enough feet. Okay. It's right there. It's right there. It's in the Bible. Okay. There's some of them sitting out there, I never get married. Okay. And with that attitude, you won't. Genesis 19 and verse 2, the angels came to Lot. He brought them inside the house. He washed their feet. You see, there was a custom here of when you went into a host, went into a house, the host would get water, and the invited guests would come in. They would take their sandals off where they had walked in the dirt. They didn't have the footwear that we have today. They wore mostly open shoes and sandals and that type of thing because of the heat. And so when they would go into a house, like the Japanese do, they would take their feet, shoes off before they went in. Okay, or set them at the door, okay, you would put your feet, you'd put your shoes to the side there. We went to several places on the trip to Israel, my wife and I, where they requested you to take your shoes off. Nobody offered to wash my feet, but this was the custom. They wore the sandals; their feet got dirty from walking around and from going to and fro. And there was a basin of water there, a pitcher of water that they would fill the basin up with. And then they would take their outer garment off and they would wash the guest's feet. Pour the water over it, spread the toes, go down between them, you know, go underneath it. Okay, go like this, pull this one apart. Woo, you need to cut them toenails. Okay. Peter, how long has it been since you cut your toenails, son? My goodness. And that was customary. Now we see here in John chapter 13, Jesus was about to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was about to go and pray. He was about to be crucified. They were going to celebrate or take part in the Passover, which was the Jewish custom, the Jewish celebration of the Passover lamb, which pictured, look up here, which pictured Jesus dying for their sins. It doesn't matter to me if I'm preaching junior church, college, or in here. If I'm preaching the Word of God, I expect to be listened to. Not because of me, but I expect you to listen. Jesus was about to go on trial, an illegal trial. Jesus was about to shed great drops of blood. And yet they went into this room to celebrate the Passover. It was a rennery. It wasn't Peter's house. It wasn't James' house. It wasn't Nathaniel's house. It wasn't James or John. It wasn't Philip's house. It was a rented room. So therefore, since it was a rented room, nobody took responsibility. And everybody went in, sat down, and like most men, let's eat. Amen. We'll wash these feet later. Mary here? No. Martha here? No. All right, let's eat. Nobody here to wash my feet. But it was still right. It was still customary. So the Bible says after they ate, Jesus laid his garment aside, his outer garment there. The Bible said he went and girded himself with a towel and began to call the disciples over one by one and wash their feet. Here was the Son of God. Here was the Creator of the universe. But because of their petty jealousy, because of their not wanting to think one person was better, you know, I'm just as good as you are. Why don't you wash my feet? Well, this isn't my house. You know, why don't you wash my feet? Well, this isn't my house. And so they all pretended, you know, and looked around like, well, you know, well, the servants aren't here. And Jesus said, I'll be a servant. I'll be a servant. And the Bible says Jesus girded the towel upon him and he went and washed their feet one by one, except the betrayer, Judas, he had gone. He washed their feet. He came to Peter, and Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet, Lord. I'm not going to let you do that. Well, he didn't offer to wash Jesus' feet. You know, it's one thing that they did not wash each other's feet, but not one of them offered to wash Jesus' feet. Because if they'd had and put on the towel and washed Jesus' feet, the others would have lined up. Amen? That's exactly what had happened. They'd have lined up and said, okay, good. That's good. I'm glad you love Jesus here. And so they said, well, if I wash Jesus' feet, I've got to do everybody else's. You know, when you serve Jesus, you got to serve others too. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. And Jesus told Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part in me. And he said, okay, well, don't just wash my feet, but wash my head, my hands, my arms, my body. Wash everything. He said, no, we're not going to do that. That's already been done. When you get saved, you're washed by the blood. Amen. When you get saved, it's under the blood. When you get saved, you are washed. And you only have to do that one time. Amen. And so he said, we're not going to do that. He said, you've already been washed. But your feet get dirty daily. And so he said, I'll wash your feet. And here was the Son of God washing the disciples' feet. He was teaching us a lesson here about humility. He was teaching us a lesson here about being a servant. He was teaching us a lesson here about eternal security of the believer, that you only have to get saved one time. All of those lessons. But the main lesson he was teaching here was to wash your feet. Did you know there's a group of Baptists that are called foot washing Baptists? It's not this crowd. Okay. He was teaching us a lesson. Let's look at verse 10. In chapter 13 of John, let's look at verse 10. Jesus said to him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but he is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all." He was talking about Judas there. He said, "You're already clean, but your feet are dirty. Your feet are dirty." I want to ask you tonight, do your feet stink? Number one, salvation washes us from our sin. It purges us. It cleanses us eternally. It's a one-time thing. It's a once saved, always saved. It's a saved by grace. It's not a saved by works. When you get saved, it's done forever. When you get saved, it's under the blood. Jesus forgives your sins, past, present, and future. There, the consequences and the condemnation and the judgment for your sins has already been cared for on the cross. You are under the blood, and when God looks at you, he does not see your sin. He sees the shed blood of Jesus Christ covering your sins. We are clean. When God looks at you, he does not see a sinful past. He does not see anything. He sees nothing but the purity and the record of Jesus Christ, his Son. That's a pretty good wash job. When God cleans up a sinner, he cleans him up. It's a one-time thing. I will say this. Many people wrestle with the assurance of salvation. Not because they haven't been saved, but because they have unconfessed sin. There's no joy. You wrestle and wrestle and wrestle and wrestle with your salvation and wondering, am I really saved? Am I not saved? Am I really saved? Am I not saved? And you've wrestled with it and you've done what you're supposed to do, but you continue to wrestle with it. You'll have no joy. Assurance of salvation and the joy of salvation comes with somebody that's walking with the Lord. But if you're not walking with the Lord, you're not going to feel saved. You're not going to act saved. You're not going to feel it. That doesn't mean you're not saved. You didn't lose it. But you don't feel real close to Jesus. You smell like a sinner. And he told Peter, no. All you've got to do is be washed once. You've been saved once, and that's a one-time thing. It's like Moses in the Old Testament. He was told to strike the rock that was Jesus being crucified. Then when they came back through, and he said, "Speak to the rock." Listen to me. Moses got mad at the people, and he struck it again with the stick, with the rod. Water came forth, but God said, "You won't go into the promised land." What did I do? You gave a wrong picture of salvation. I was using this as an object lesson to all these people, several million people, that the first time the rock is smitten, Jesus was crucified, but you don't smite it but once. Jesus only had to die once. You only had to get saved once. He was using that of the water coming forth out of the rock as a testimony of that once you're saved, it's eternal. You don't have to be, Jesus didn't have to be crucified again. And Moses made light of the obedience thing, and he did not portray salvation properly. He gave a wrong image of what salvation was, that Jesus might be crucified or that you could get saved again. And God said, because of that, you won't go into the promised land. This was Moses. If I lived 100 lifetimes, I couldn't do everything he did. It's pretty important that we take the doctrine of eternal security and make it safe and secure, and we fight for that and we stand for that. That salvation is a one-time thing. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that if it were possible for once a man having fall, if one to fall away, didn't say he fell away, it said if it were possible. If it were possible if you'd fall away, didn't say he fell away, it said if. That if you could fall away, you could not be saved because you could not renew again the gift of repentance because Jesus Christ would have to be crucified open afresh and anew. You say, "Well, I don't believe in eternal security." Well, if you lose it, you can't get resaved. So you're in trouble because Jesus is only going to die once. That's what this is teaching here. And he said, Peter, pay attention. Salvation is by grace. But, Peter, you do have dirty feet. You see, as we go through life, it's impossible to live in this old world. It's impossible to go through this world without getting sin on us. It's impossible to live a day without doing something that is not right. Now, this is what we do. We think, well, I went to church, I sang in the choir, I went soul winning, I went on the bus route, and we go at the end of the day. Now, listen to me. I'm not upset. I'm not mad. But we go at the end of the day and say, God, you're proud of me, aren't you? And he is. But we got dirty feet, too. You didn't go through that day without any sin at all. But we don't want to talk about that. We'd rather be praised for what we did. Years and years and years ago, a guy got up in the Bible college I went to. And he said in the message, he made this statement. It has been 3 days since I displeased my Lord. That's Pentecostal doctrine. That's holiness doctrine. That's apostolic doctrine. Man, it ain't been 3 days since I displeased my wife. What are you talking about? And she don't know half of what I do. Much less the Lord Jesus. Something not right here. That old boy didn't last. They gave him his walking papers. They never asked him to preach again. He packed his bags and went on down the road. He was told, this is a Baptist college. We believe in once saved, always saved. But see, when we go through life, we get dirt on our feet. We do get dirty. We do have sin. What does that sin do to us? Well, if we don't wash our feet, it causes problems. If we don't have a daily cleansing, it causes problems in our life. Look at verse 8. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. He said, you're not going to do it, Lord. He said, you mean you can go through life all this time and have unconfessed sin? He said, Peter, if you do that, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. He said, I can't use you if you got dirty feet. I can't use you if you have dirty feet. God wants a clean vessel. You see, unconfessed sin hinders our ability to serve the Lord Jesus, for him to use us. We're a dirty vessel. The cleaner you are, the more God can use you. And when you don't confess your sins, and when you don't forsake your sins, and when you don't ask God for cleansing on a daily basis, that hinders his ability to use you. Because God wants to use a clean vessel. But we do like the teenage boy. Son, get in there and take a bath. I'm okay. I don't smell anything. You never do. Everybody else does. We say it's no big deal. But to a holy God, it is. Unconfessed sin hinders our ability to serve our Lord Jesus Christ and to be fulfilled in what everything that we should do. It keeps us from doing everything he wants us to do. It doesn't allow us to serve him. You're not as good a soul winner. You're not as good a bus worker. You're not as good as a musician. You're not as good a choir person when you've got sin in your life. Now, you may have got up here and the choir was a blessing. You may have got up here and sang a special. But you didn't do as good a job as you could have, and God's not going to bless you as much as you had confessed your sin. Unconfessed sin hinders our ability to serve God and the amount we can serve him and what we do for him. Number next. You say, how many numbers you got? I ain't telling you. We do have dirty feet. We do have dirty feet. You can't walk through this whole world without getting dirty. We're still flesh. My Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. My Bible says in 1 John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We don't come right out and say it with words, but we certainly do with our actions. The way we parade around in front of other people, the arrogance, the pride, I'm a better Christian. There's nobody without sin. There's nobody that doesn't need to grow. There's nobody that doesn't need to confess something. There's something that the Holy Spirit's working on you all the time. We ask God for His help during the day. We ask Him for His provision. We spend time in prayer asking for His power. We ask Him for His blessings. We never mention our sins and needing cleansing. And ask forgiveness. Oh, maybe we do this. Maybe we pray a blanket prayer. Forgive me of all my sins. But we don't want to get personal list them, do we? I asked my wife, honey, you seem to be a little upset with me. You don't seem to be talking to me. If there's something I can't think of a thing I've done. And actually, compared to somebody that's only been married, how long have you been married? 3 years. I've been married 36 years. Surely I'm a better husband than him. I mean, what's she expect? I've been married 36 years. How long have you been married? Twice as long at least. Surely I'm a better husband than him. She ought to appreciate, you ought to appreciate one what you got. But let me explain something to you. Let me explain something, sweetie. If there's something that I did in the last week or so that has offended you in some way and you think it was wrong, I'll apologize for it and I want you to forgive me for it. I'm not sure what it is and I didn't think it was that bad, but, you know, just whatever it was, would you please forgive me and let's get on with this, okay? I'm hungry. That pig don't fly. And this is what we do. Dear Lord, bless me. Help me on my bus route. Help me to win souls. Help me to study the Bible. Give me power. Help, bless me today. Help mama, she's sick. Help the preacher in the Philippines. Help, bring him back soon. All we got is this crazy staff. Please, dear God, bless our church. Bless us. And forgive me all my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Am I making that up? No. We don't want to name it. We don't want to list it. And if we do, it's kind of like this. We pick are the ones that we want to confess, don't we? Huh? Lord, forgive me this. You know I'm sincere about that. God, I'm trying. I'm really. And Lord, you know I want forgiveness of that. And I'm working on that. And please, Lord, forgive me. You know I love you and I want to do better. And the Holy Spirit says, yes. Well, Lord, you know I'm going to do better on that. And He said, yes. In Jesus' name, amen. He said, I want you to do the other ones. I'm busy right now. I'll get back to those later. You ever had one of those 2 o'clock in the morning talks? Can I ask you about something? That's a lie from the pits of hell. It ain't about something. It's about 10 somethings. And you talk for about 15 or 20 minutes. You finally get to the bottom of it. You work it all out and you confess all your sins, you know, and you're expecting a kiss. And she said, now number 2. You go, where'd this come from? You said you want to talk about something, not some things. You lied to me, woman. I could be asleep on the couch. And we do the Lord the same way. We really get spiritual in our prayers, don't we? Lord, bless this person and bless this health of this person and bless my soul winning and bless all the little children in the world, red and yellow, black and white. And help the bus ministry and help the choir and help us to do this and empower us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us and cleanse us now and forgive us. Amen. And the Lord said, that's it? You're not even going to talk to me about it? The Holy Spirit's been convicting you of this for several days. And you went, amen. And you're going, oh, I'm sorry. We said, well, okay, I'll mention a couple. And the Holy Spirit says, okay, what about these others? Well, doesn't this work for right now? And I really got to go. You know, I spent a lot of time praying for all the sick people in the world. Doesn't that count? You know? And we don't want to make that part about the confessing of the sins. Kind of want to make that part short, don't we? I have a habit that I do. I like to pray in the car when I'm driving. Why? Because nobody's there and I can talk out loud to the Lord. But there's sometimes I've talked so personal that I look back just to make sure nobody is in that car. Because I'm saying things I don't even want my wife to hear. We talk about our prayer life, but our prayer life consists of confession of sins too. We do have dirty feet. And then we pray. We don't get specific about it. We pray as if it were a mistake. Lord, help me to do better. Instead of saying, Lord, what I did was wrong. I knew what was wrong. I want to stop it. I want to confess it. I want to lay it down. I want to forsake it. We say, Lord, help me to do better. I'm down to 2 packs a day. God, you know all. I lost my temper 3 times today. I am doing better. And we take pride in that we didn't sin as much as we did yesterday. Am I making this up? Lord, you're proud of me, aren't you? I only got mad at my wife 2 times today. Yesterday it was 4. Now help me to do better tomorrow because I only plan on doing it once. But we still plan on it, don't we? Because we didn't confess it as a sin. We confessed it as a mistake. It's something I need to grow in. And the Holy Spirit said, beg your pardon? You try that with your wife. Well, honey, you know, I am working on that and I want to do better. And I want you to be patient with me and I'm going to do my best to do better. And I didn't really mean to call you what I called you. I didn't really mean to say it the way I said it. I was angry. You think she believes that? Uh-uh. We play games with the Lord. I am telling you tonight that we do have dirty feet. Every day we have dirty feet. And God wants daily confession. If we have feet that are dirty daily, then we ought to confess our sins daily. That's part of our daily walk with God, is a daily confession, a daily washing. Well, what do we do? I'm fixing to preach. Oh, God, help me to get this. Oh, we do a little more confessing then, don't we? I'm fixing to sing. I'm fixing to preach in junior church. I'm fixing to go soul winning. Well, I need more confession. I need more cleansing. Why don't you need to be clean all the time? But before we decide to do something great, you know, it's lying like this. I need to ask my wife for something. I think she was upset the other day. So I'll go confess that and get it right. But if I don't need nothing, I don't need to say nothing. Amen? Hello? And we treat the Lord that way. No, we ought to have clean feet every day. Because we have dirty feet every day. The Lord wants to clean us up. Number next. 4 if you're counting. Washing your feet takes time. You see, what we want to do is just get up there at the upper room, jump right in, eat in fellowship. They walked in, they looked around, there's the water, there's the towels, there's the basin, there's the pitcher of water. Don't see anybody. All right, let's eat. Let's get right into it. Let's jump right in. This is what we do. We do those quick washes, don't we? Kind of like do the car. Hello? We run by and give it a rinse off. You know, takes about 3 minutes. We rinse it off instead of doing a deep clean. We just kind of pick up the trash on the carpet, or we take the mat and we bang it up against the wall on the outside, you know, on the door on the outside, knock it out, you know. Hey, that's good, okay? Matter of fact, put that one in the back. It's dirty. Put the clean one in the front. Okay, we're good. Let's go. Kind of like that quick car wash. Just kind of knock off the outside dirt. But you know, true washing of your feet took time. I mean, bless God, let me tell you something, Brother Jonathan. If you're washing my feet, I would say right there between those two, there's a little bit more. Right, you're missing a spot right there. Get it. Get right there. There's a little bit more right there. Amen? I want a good job done. Don't you rush when you're washing my feet. I want a good job. But no, if you're going to confess your sins, it takes a little time. It takes a sincerity. It takes a genuineness. It takes a meaning it. It takes talking to the Lord about what you've done and what you intend to do about it. And it also, as you're confessing your sins, it takes a little bit of listening. It is not safe to have a 2 o'clock talk with your wife and you go through one point and she says, okay, now, okay, baby. She'll tell you when it's over, amen? You better not decide. Am I making this up, brother? You better not decide when it's over. You say, okay, that's good. All right. Okay, I got it. All right, we got it. Okay, I won't do that. Okay, I've got it. I'll work on that. I'll take care of that tomorrow. Okay, I promise. Okay. All right. Where are you? I'm going to sleep. You know, until she dismisses you, you better not shut it off. Because you're in a heap of trouble, boy. Have you found this to be true?
Yes.
Yes. Miss Nash, it takes more than 5 minutes, doesn't it? Oh, yes. But that's what we want to give the Holy Spirit. Used to people got right with God. Now we just say, Lord, amen. You're going out the door and you say, honey, I'm sorry about the way I said this morning. Okay, we'll talk about it later, but I really am sorry. And you're doing it on the run. How sincere is that? And the Holy Spirit is talking to you and you're confessing something and you're wanting to say, in Jesus' name, amen. And the Holy Spirit said, hang on just a second. Now, what about this other thing? And what about this other thing? And what about this other thing? Well, man, I didn't intend to bring those up. Well, while I've got your intention and while you've got a sweet spirit and while you're talking about it, I thought you were sincere. I thought you wanted to have a talk here. I thought you wanted to talk about this. I thought you wanted to get right with me. No, just the things I know you knew about and just things that you want to talk about. Bless God, if that woman's talking to me, I ain't bringing nothing up. She's got enough to cover, amen? I ain't going to bring up something new. I'm sorry, baby, if this, and by the way, you didn't know about this, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you this too, okay? I don't want to go to bed. I don't want to stay up another 2 hours. Have you found this to be true?
Are you talking about your wife?
No, I'm talking about you. Man, I ain't going to bring it. I've already been up an hour and a half. But this is what we do. We like to rush the end of that prayer, don't we? We say, Lord, forgive my sins. And Lord, I'm working on it. And help me do this. You know, and that's, we've got this prayer like this. And the sin part's about like this, isn't it? It takes time to wash your feet. Number next. When you neglect to wash your feet, you get used to it. It doesn't bother you. You become accustomed to it. It doesn't seem like a big deal. You just kind of get used to it. You're dirty. But you're used to it and it doesn't bother you. I remember as about a 9 or 10 year old boy coming back from camp. My dad was driving. I don't think he's ever heard this story. But anyway, there was a good looking girl. I begin to notice girls. They're different. She's pretty. This is good. God's smart. And we were talking. I thought, this is enjoyable. And then that girl took her shoes off in the car on the way home from camp. It's spoil things. I'll sit by myself. I'm moving to another part of the vehicle. This is not going to work, okay? Set me back a few years, okay? Brother Palmore, you remember going to soul winning clinic? Staff member. We're all sitting there in soul winning clinic. Staff member, what's that smell? It's nasty. What's that smell? Somebody stinks, man. That's putrid. Somebody ought to take a bath. That man, somebody's nasty. And so for the whole session, like an hour, we sit there. This person griped and complained. And man, this is nasty. And so when we went out on the break, we came back in. We took our Bibles, bless God, and we moved somewhere else. The problem is the smell followed us. And the person that was doing the complaining, it was their feet. It wasn't the guy in front of us. But guess what? You get used to it. Sin doesn't bother you. We neglect to wash our feet. We become accustomed to it. It doesn't seem like a big deal. The problem is this. Others notice. You don't think you're having a bad day and you think it's got you got it hidden. But your spirit's bad because there's some unconfessed sin. Everybody else notices it. Everybody else knows. Something's not right with them. Something's wrong with their attitude. Something's not right. There's an odor there, isn't there? And we think we've got it hidden. Like the little kid eating chocolate. You been eating chocolate? No, you don't like eating chocolate. He's got it all over his face. And somebody said, how are you doing today? Fine. Everything okay? Fine. How come you're so sour? How come you're so cranky? Because there's something eating at your soul. And when you and the Holy Spirit are wrestling, you're not happy. You can't wrestle the Holy Spirit and be happy. But see, what happens is we get used to that dirt. Number next. When we neglect to wash our feet regularly, daily, it builds up, it gets worse. It's harder to get off. We're not supposed to confess our sins once a week. We're not supposed to confess our sins once a month. We're supposed to confess our sins daily. Daily. And if we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar and the truth is not in us. Let's quit playing games calling it mistake or I'll do better. It's a daily thing. But when we don't wash our feet regularly, when we don't wash it regularly, it builds up and builds up and builds up and builds up. And then that 2 o'clock talk turns instead of a 30 minute, an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. Let me tell you something. You don't deal with your teenagers. You don't work with them on a daily basis, working on their attitude, working on their actions, working on their respect for you, working on what they do. Then you've got some of these conferences with your teenagers that last 2 or 3 hours. But if you do it on a daily basis, it wouldn't take so long. If you'd build a relationship with your wife daily, if you'd build a relationship with your kids daily, then you wouldn't be having to go down and bail them out. You wouldn't have to be having to talk to the principal, talk to the youth director about something that's been going on and finally it flares up, but it's been there a while. And it's harder to clean up. Because that dirt gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And when you sin, it hurts others, it hurts yourself, it brings more damage. Why not do it on a daily basis? Number next. Number 7, if you count. Just the opposite of that, the more we wash our feet, the easier it is to keep them clean. Nasty car, it takes you forever to clean. Told my wife the other day, we're going to have to call our car blue. I was looking for it in the parking lot the other day. Couldn't find it. It wasn't blue. Needs a bath. They've been doing road construction out there by our house, and it's very, very dusty. And coming and going, there's dust flying. You got to roll up your windows. You get dirt all in your mouth. My car isn't even the right color. But you know what? She had a grandma, Granny Kaufman, sweet lady, that every morning would take a cloth and go out there in the dew, East Texas, Commerce, and she'd go down there and wipe her car off just with a simple rag while it was damp because she kept it clean every day. Every day. The more often can you confess your sins, the easier it is to do and the less time it takes. And you know what? Clean. It looks good and it feels good. You get right with your wife, it feels good. Teenagers, you get right with your parents, it feels good. And you can't be right with God and wrong with your parents. And the Bible says you can't be right with your God and get your prayers answered, men, if you're not right with your wife. It says that. You don't get your prayers answered, it might be because you're not right with your wife. Clean looks good. Clean feels good. There's something about going home to mama and knowing, hey, you know, this morning I said something when I went out the door. I was a little bit sharp. But about 10 o'clock, I called her and said, honey, I didn't mean to be sharp. I'm sorry. I was aggravated. I shouldn't have. I'm sorry. She said, it's all right. I'm used to it. No. No, she said, I know. I know there's a lot on you. It's all right. And I make up then. Then when I go home for supper, it's better. It's already done. Hey, you know what? Clean looks good. Clean feels good. You get more out of your Bible when you're clean. You get more when you're walking with the Lord when you're clean. You say, I'm not getting as much out of my Bible. How clean are you? Number next. Bible says in 1 John chapter 1. Let's look at that real quick. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Okay. It's right before 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. His truth is not in us, and his word is not in us. Bible reading and prayer and confessing of your sin all go hand in hand. They all go hand in hand. You want to get something out of your Bible reading? You want to get answers to prayer? It all goes hand in hand with the word of God. It all goes hand in hand. The better you know the Bible, the better you know the rule book, the better you know the picture of Christ, then the more we see ourselves as we really are. How did Paul see himself? Well, I'm better than the other apostles. I'm better than I used to be. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Let me tell you who the best Christian is in this room. I don't know, but he doesn't know it. He doesn't know it. He's sincere about his confession. He's sincere about walking with the Lord. He's sincere about, I messed this up today, Lord. And he doesn't think he's the best Christian. But there's some people that walk around and say, well, I did this and I did that and I'm good at this and I'm good at that. And you know, God must be really proud of me. Let me tell you something. Anything you do without the grace of God, he doesn't get the glory for it, and it's not going to last anyway. So you may appear to be a good Christian to somebody else by an outward show, but if you didn't do it through the grace of God and you do it through your own merit and you got the reward for it and it didn't bring glory to God, it's wood, hay, and stubble. Anything you do outside the grace of God is on your own. I'm afraid we have some people living the Christian life because it makes them look good and better than other people and ain't for Jesus. But that's another message. Bible reading, prayer, and confession go hand in hand. The better you know the Bible, the rule book, the picture of the Christ. Paul said, I am the chiefest of sinners. The better Christian you become, the longer it takes you to confess your sins. You say, well, that guy just got saved. He's got a bunch to do. No, he said, Lord, I'm a drunk, and I'm on cigarettes, and I'm mad at my wife half the time. Forgive me that. And there's 1,000 things he's doing he doesn't even know. He doesn't even know their sin. He doesn't even know to confess them. But the more you put off on the outside and the closer you walk to the Lord and see the God's holiness and the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ and the purity of that book, the more time you'll spend confessing your sins. Bible reading, prayer, confess it, go hand in hand. You leave this off, You're not going to be walking with God in your prayer life confessing your sin if you're not walking in this, because you won't know what to confess. It's this right here in the Holy Spirit using this to bring conviction of your sin. They go hand in hand. Number next. Jesus truly, truly, truly wants to wash your feet. You know that Jesus already knows your sin. Do you know Jesus is not avoiding you because you got stinky feet? Do you think that Peter wanted to wash even his brother James' foot? You love your dad? You want to wash his feet? Not necessarily. That's the only way you'd do it if it was necessary. I shouldn't tell this story. I shouldn't. God forgive me. I lost my phone piece down there. When my children were little, thank God they're not, they're gone. God is a gracious God. We didn't have loads of money, and they certainly didn't have loads of money. And they would say, we will polish your shoes. We will wash your car. We will, you know, as a gift for Christmas or birthday or something, let's do something good for Dad. You know, we will wash your car. We will vacuum the car. You know, we will do something for you like this. Well, I got a few that says, we will rub your feet. We will rub your feet. Are you listening to me, daughter? I lied to my daughter, and I told her, I found something. You know, you don't ask all your kids, you know, do everything. They give you this stack of stuff. It's like a coupon book, and if you actually ask them to do it, it'd take them 3 years. I told Hannah, hey, I found some of those coupons I never cashed in, and a couple of them were for a foot rub. She said, fat chance, you know. It ain't going to happen. I thought you loved me. What's the deal? What's the difference? Same feet. She said, no way. I said, I got a coupon. She said, they are expired. I'm not trying, brother. It's just real. But you know what? I really don't want to wash Brother Nash's feet. I really don't. Peter didn't want to wash James' feet. Nathaniel didn't want to wash Philip's feet. But you know, let me tell you something. Jesus didn't mind. Jesus didn't mind. Matter of fact, it gave him joy. When you go to the Lord and you confess your sin, he already knew what you did. You may hide it from your wife. You kids may hide it from your parents. But you hadn't hid anything from Jesus. It's like, well, I'm a little embarrassed to talk to him about it. Well, I can understand that if your wife said, well, you know, she's going to get on to me but Jesus already knows it. I'm telling you, he wants to wash your feet. He wants to spend time with you. He wants you to talk to him about it. He is waiting for you. He is ready. He's not running from you. We tried to hide from him. We try to cover our sins. We try to pretend we're okay. We don't bring it up in prayer, and we're hoping that he doesn't notice. He already knows. And he's saying, are you going to talk to me about this? Well, Lord, I just wouldn't want to bring that up. I was hoping you wouldn't notice it. Like we can hide something from the Lord Jesus. He knows what we did or didn't do. He wants to forgive us. He wants to restore the fellowship. He wants to bless us. He wants to use us. He's just waiting on us to wash our feet. No, I don't always like telling my wife or my kids I'm sorry or I wish I had, but you never have to. I mean, there's sometimes that's difficult, but it shouldn't be with Jesus. Should never be with Jesus. He loves you. He wants to forgive you. He already knows what the sin is. He's just waiting on you. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, no matter how small, no matter how big. So here's the disciples sitting there eating. Supper was over. Jesus had already dipped the sop, given it to Judas Iscariot. He went out. Jesus took his robe off, girded himself with a towel. He said, "Let me wash your feet." That was a time that those disciples never forgot. It was a lesson they never forgot. Let me tell you something. That time you spend with Jesus getting clean is a precious, sweet, holy, intimate, private time. It's a time that's special because it's just you and the Lord. It's a sweet time. It's a heart-rendering time. But he's tender about it. And as you bring it up and you talk to him, he's not rough. He's gracious. He's kind. He's forgiving. That's a good thing. And he's waiting. And by the way, don't insult Jesus. If he washed something out between your toes yesterday, don't say, "Lord, is that still there?" He said, "No, I got it out yesterday." Don't bring it back up. When you confess your sin, it's under the blood. When you confess your sin, you believe him. This thing of faith, you believe by faith that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You believe by faith that he forgave you on the cross. But yet you go to God and confess your sins and the devil won't let you let go of it and you keep reconfessing and reconfessing and reconfessing the same sin. Where's your faith? God said, "I washed your feet." That's over. Don't bring that up again. You're insulting me. I cleansed that. We talked about that a week ago. You put it under the blood. It's over. It's done. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You've done enough today to talk about. Talk about what you've done today. But if it's in the past and you've confessed it, then move on. You only have to get saved once. Dirty feet hinders our ability to serve God. We all have dirty feet. We have to make time to get our feet washed. It's time consuming. We become accustomed to the dirt if we don't wash our feet daily. The dirt builds up and it's hard to get off if we don't daily wash. The more we wash, the easier it is to keep them clean. You know, you don't have to wait till you go to bed at night to confess your sins. Bible reading and confession go hand in hand. And I'm telling you tonight, Jesus wants to wash your feet. Let's talk about your day. But Lord, I know I did this. What we want to do, listen to me, and there's nothing wrong with that. What we want to do is we want to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I want to praise you for this, and I want to praise you for that, and I did this and this. Aren't you?" That's good. That's fine. That's great. There ought to be confession time in there too. And if it's done right, and it's done proper, and it's done sincere, it can be a precious, sweet time too. Because he wants to hear it. He wants to hear it. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Do your feet smell? Do you have stinky feet? Are you trying to represent the Lord Jesus Christ and do a job for him in the choir and singing on the bus route, in soul winning, in your marriage? Maybe it's rearing your kids. But you hadn't confessed your feet, your sins. You don't think they know that? You don't think they can see that? You're trying to build a relationship with your wife, but you got unconfessed sin. It stinks. You don't think she can see that? You're trying to serve the Lord. You're trying to do something for him. You're trying to impress him with what you have done or what you are doing. And you're saying, "Lord, bless me because you are impressed with me and because how hard I am serving you Because all I am doing for you, aren't you proud of me, God? But you know what? If we've got unconfessed sin, God is not impressed. God is not impressed. It hinders our prayer. It blocks our service. It affects others. Do your feet stink?
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.